Good afternoon. I am Todd Chandler. I'm from Temple Terrace, Florida, just north of Tampa. That's not my home. I mean, it is now, but that's not where I originated. I was born in Boyle County here in Kentucky, up in Danville. Are you from over there?
Yes.
Very good. But lived here 10 years. Actually worked at this church, worked at West End for 10 years. Three of our four kids were born here, so lots of connections to this church, and worked some at Camp Kennesee. A bunch of you have done Camp Kennesee in the past. We've been there. My wife Jeannie is here also with me in the back a couple times, so we've done that. Great to be with you in this study a few times. Where's the clicker here? All right, start with this. Question for you. The correct answer gets a prize. All right, how many siblings do I have? First guess.
One.
No.
Zero.
No.
Three.
Two. All right. And you get an icebreaker because it's all I had. Does he need an icebreaker? Okay, there you go. Doing you a favor, pal. Good. Good. Well, I had two. Two siblings. Not nearly the cool story that Bill has, but, you know, whatever. Raise your hand if you were up before you were awake. If you were out of bed and on your feet before noon. Okay. Before 11. Before 10. Before 9. Before 8 a.m. You were up and about. Before 7:30. Before 7. Before 6:30. She's your sister. What's your sister's name?
Cadence.
All right, Cadence. Where am I at? 6:30? Is that where I left off? 6:30? 6. You're up before 6. Man, what's wrong with you people? Before 5:30. Did you ever go to sleep?
I did.
Okay. Before 5. You were up before 5. Between 5:15. 5:20. 5:25. John was up. 5:30 a.m. You guys are crazy. Crazy. Man. Still going. I was going to give you all a prize, too. So, see me, you'll get an icebreaker. All right, we did this last night. Bill did a great job of walking us through Ecclesiastes. What is the point? And that's a great book to begin and end that question with. And we had these four points. Understanding the brokenness of the world. The brokenness of this world yet needs. It creates a desire for something. We're missing something. People look for it. Everybody looks for it in something. And we went through some of those last night. Learn to enjoy the things under the sun without giving them as though that's what it's all about. Enjoy them. God created good. More to say on that, I think, in my last lesson. God created stuff for a good reason. Enjoy it. But that's not what it's all about. Learn to say no today so that you can have every tomorrow in eternity. Satan's a master deceiver, saying what you want is right now. He's a master at that. And then last, gets down to it, you fear God. In short, you don't have purpose without whom? God. You don't. There is no point without God. And that's where Ecclesiastes brings us. So what I'd like to discuss today is an example of that. Turn with me to John 12. And we're going to read just a little bit in that chapter. You and I walk this earth as people, as human beings. And the question that comes up eventually for us is, what's the point? And Bill laid that out for us really well yesterday. God also walked this earth as a human being. God in the flesh. And we can learn, particularly maybe from this chapter, how he approached that question. Because he was also a human. Now, he was God in the flesh, but he was human. Here in John, and you'll have your sheets, right? Your little, all right. How many of you still have your handouts? Okay, that's fairly impressive. Be honest now. How many of you have misplaced or forgotten your handouts? Okay, well, that's okay. Look on somebody near to you. Right at the very top, we're just going to look through this real quick here at the beginning so we can get to the point. John chapter 12, verse 1, I'll read it, this verse real quick. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, was, whom he had raised from the dead. So where are we in Jesus' life? We are at what point in time? What did the verse say? We are 6 days before the Passover. Which Passover do you think this is? Correct. This is the last week of his life. You get halfway through the Gospel of John and you're already in the last week of his life. It's a really interesting gospel that way. It's unique that way. It gets to the end of his life very quickly and then it slows down. So in the 6 days before the Passover, he's going to be betrayed later this week, basically. That's where we are in time. Let's read a couple of verses. Somebody raise your hand. Volunteer to read verses 12, 13, and then 19. Somebody read that for me, please. Yes, no, you read last night. Audrey, loud. 12, 13, and 19. Yes. So where are we in his popularity? And John, the clicker isn't clicking. There it is. Okay. So what's the condition of Jesus' popularity right now?
Very popular,
right? Why is he popular? You all know enough about the gospel story. Many of you do. Why is he popular? Why are people throwing branches in the road? And it's the triumphal entry, and even his enemies are saying the whole world is following this guy. Why is he so popular? Okay, you do miracles, as you're going to say, all right? Because what they thought he was is what they wanted. Yes, sir? Okay, he was different, and what they thought he was is what they wanted. Now, was their thinking correct? Was he who they thought he was? No. Which is why Jesus doesn't get caught up in this. He knows they don't really want him. They want who they think he is. They don't want him, which is why they're going to kill him in 6 days. But they want who they think he is. And so they have this, he's wildly popular, but they don't want him, and he knows it. So where are we with his message? I need someone to read verses 23 through 26. Yes, sir, loud, Stephen. So he makes at least three key points here. What's one first key point that he makes? What's the heart of his message? What's he talking about? What are key words that jump out? And it's okay, just if you think you know the answer, just say it. That's okay. Okay, death is in there. Okay, life is in there. Glory is in there. Is there a trick to this that I don't know? How do you make this slide move at this place? There we go. Okay. There. One, I will be glorified. I will be glorified. He knows that. That's his message. I am going to be glorified in the most humiliating way possible, people think. But in the end, he is going to be glorified and everyone will know who he really is. That's one point to his message. And then he illustrates that with something about a seed. It's the big middle button with an arrow, right, John? Yeah. No, that's okay, man. Sorry. Thank you. A second key point, he talks about a seed, right? In order to see what's real, the value in a seed, what does it have to do? What do you have to do to that seed? Okay, he says you kill, unless a seed dies, right? Seeds don't really die. But what do we do with a seed to really see the value in it? You bury it, right? You bury it. And only after you bury it does it spring forth with a life. You think, wow, that's what that was. Get the image, what Jesus is doing there? He says, look, I will be glorified. You don't know what's in a seed until you kill it. And then you see what that seed's going to produce. And he's talking about himself. And then the third point, which is not about himself. What's his third key? What's he really saying when he says, follow me? What is he saying to people who are listening? What's his point? I will be glorified. I'm going to die. Death is necessary for that. You follow me. What's he inviting them to share in? Death. He's inviting them to share in death. Right? That's his message. But not just death, but glory that will come from that. Right? That's what Jesus is summarizing here. That's his message. Now, at this point, the people hearing it don't understand that. Right? They will. Many of them will. Most of them won't, but many of them will. But right now they don't. That's his message here. Good so far? That's John 12. So now let's pick up, and right in the middle of this conversation, my Bible puts a break right here in the middle of the paragraph, but it's literally in the middle of Jesus talking, so I don't like it, but that's okay. Someone read for me verse 27. Verse 27. Yes, sir, okay, loud.
Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour.
All right. Back here, someone. Give me one key phrase from this verse. There's sort of three key individual kind of comments that he makes. What's the first one? Good. My soul is troubled. Click. Click. There you go. There you go. Now my soul is troubled. Why was his soul so troubled? And this is a very vulnerable thing for Jesus to say, right? This is a very trend. He's opening up his heart to people. Okay, he's about to die, and what's involved in his death? What else was he doing in that death? He wasn't just dying. Total humiliation in every possible way. And sin was involved. It was immense. It was an immense load he was getting ready to take on. And it troubled him. We might use in our day the word anxiety. He had deep anxiety about that. Not that clinical necessarily, but it was very heavy on his mind. Second thing he says in this verse. My soul is troubled. What's he do next? Okay, he asks, that's a question, right? What shall I say? Click, there you go. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? That's how the New King James puts it. Shall I ask that question? And then the third point is what? And this is really the theme of this whole weekend, right? What's the third statement he makes? This is my purpose. Yeah, and the glorifying comes later, comes in the next sentence. But yeah. For this purpose I came here. What Jesus is saying is my soul is really troubled, but what am I going to say? Father, save me from this? This is my point. This is why I exist as a human on planet Earth, is this moment. This is the point. How can I tell God, how can I walk away from that? So Jesus knew the point. And of course he did, right? He was Jesus. But he still had to come to that on some level, however that worked. Jesus knew the point. For this purpose, I am here. Let me ask about this question. The second statement, those questions he says. What's he doing? Those are rhetorical questions, right? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? What's a rhetorical question? It has an answer to it. Yes, sir? That's a good way to put it. A question where the answer doesn't need to be stated. It's understood. What's the answer to this question? What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? What's the answer to that? Should Jesus make that request? No, because that's his point. Now, will he make that request? Yes, he will. That's how troubled he was. Yes, he will make that request. But he will request it. He won't demand it. Did Jesus have options? Neely shaking her head, yes. He did have options, didn't he? All right, did I put these passages in your sheet? I did not. This side of the room, turn to Matthew 26. This side of the room, turn to John 10. Matthew 26, John 10. Matthew 26 side. I need someone to read verse 33. Yes, sir.
Peter answered him, "Shall they all fall away to
is not what I wanted. That's 26:33? Yeah. Yes, indeed it was. All right, well, this is what you do when you write down the wrong verse, and I don't remember it. Jesus could have called legions of angels. Right. All right, John chapter 10. Somebody over here, I need you to read. Who's going to read? Yes, ma'am. Verse 18. Thank you. Good. He's talking about his life. Nobody takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down. And I lay it down, I can take it again. This commandment I have from my Father. Jesus had options. So when he asked this second question, that set of questions, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. It's not as though Jesus had no choice. He had the choice. And he chose the point. Intentionally. One thing knowing the point does for all of us, this is sort of a side lesson, but it's a key one, is knowing the point gives clarity to me. Gray questions become clearer. Clouds tend to move away, and the answer becomes clearer when I know what the point is about. That's one of the reasons these lessons are so important. If you know the point of walking as a human on earth, questions clarify for us all, because we understand what this is all about, and it makes things much easier for us. Well, doesn't mean the answer is easy to accept, but we know what the answer is for us. All right. Next slide, please. So what was Jesus' purpose? What was it? He mentioned it briefly just a second ago, I will be glorified. That tied in with the purpose. But what was his purpose? Back in chapter 12 of John, let's read verse 31 and 32. And I'm going to give you about 2 minutes. I give you other passages, give you about 3 minutes. We're going to read this together. And then what I want you to do is tie these two verses we read into one of those three phrases we just talked about. And then also, in your seat, read those two verses, as many as you can get to, one or two of them in a couple of minutes, and talk with somebody next to you and clarify that. Okay, what was Jesus' purpose as revealed in John 12, 31, and 32, and further described in those couple of verses? I could give you tons of verses, right, but we don't have time for all that. You'll get the point. First, John chapter 12, verse 31 to 32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. All right, what was his purpose? Connect those two verses with those on the screen. Talk about it with someone next to you. I'll give you a couple of minutes. And you're welcome just to talk, right? That's the point. Be noisy.
Thank you. didn't know if you had a question or what. You guys good? All right, so what did y'all talk about? What was his purpose? Somebody over here, what was his purpose? Yes, sir. Okay, to be a sacrifice to take away sins. Excellent. Yes, ma'am. To triumph over the world. Great. Two great biblical phrases. Triumph over the world. Yes, ma'am. Good, to deliver everyone from slavery. Great. This side. Cameron? Cast out the ruler of the world. Folks, where do we live? We live in the world. We live in the world. Jesus came to defeat that, to dethrone it, right? To dethrone the ruler of that. That tells you something about where we live. We live within the enemy's world, within the enemy's camp. So to speak. That's how Jesus viewed it anyway. We better know our point. We better know the purpose. We're going to get disoriented in there. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Okay. Good. Yes, sir. Triumph over death. Good, to triumph over death. So always to say Jesus' point here was you and me. That's why he came here. I'm a sinner, and nothing more than that, on my own. I am more than that because Jesus makes me more than that, right? I am pure because he makes me so, right? I am righteous not because I am, because he makes me righteous. And he declares me to be in spite of who I am. That's what Jesus came to do, that kind of remarkable gift that he came to give to us. That's what he came to do. And so when he came and he died and he rose and in that he was glorified, he accomplished something profound that you and I need. That was his point. And it changed the world because of it. He came as a human. You have a point too. I'm not going to step on this because this is Bill's lesson right after this one. Is what's our point in creation? What is Jesus' point in creation? He was the creator and he joined creation. To deliver his creation from what his creation created for themselves, which was a wreck and death. That's what he came to do. So in doing that, he also does more. And you see this in John chapter 12. That first, somebody already mentioned it. I said, hold off, it's the next verse. Verse 28, after saying, my soul is troubled, what shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? For this purpose I came to this hour. Jesus then says, Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name. So Jesus' point was he was going to be glorified by death that brings a gift to us, but that will also bring glory to the Father, not just the Son, not just the human being walking around, but his Father in heaven. Let's look at a couple more verses in that regard. Yes, good. I put these on your sheet. All right, again, this side, well, just look what you can. This side, start in the front list. This is the John 17 list right there. This is John 17, and there's John chapter 1 and John chapter 13. You all start in John chapter 17. You all start at the last verse listed. That way we'll meet in the middle, right? And I may not have time to read all of them. Jot a couple notes down. In doing that, he also did this. You write down the key phrases. What else did Jesus accomplish? And I'll give you about 60 seconds on this one.
Okay, that's close to 60 seconds. One of the key ideas in all those verses, in one way or another, sort of emphasize the same point. In doing that purpose, what did Jesus do? He glorified the Father, right? He glorified the Father. And over that phrase is emphasized there. So Jesus' purpose was not only his own glory as the Son of God that would be demonstrated, it was beyond himself. It was his glory and it was the Father's glory. His purpose here was beyond him. And Jesus knew that. And so he made choices that reflected that understanding. All right, anybody have a question right now? Or a comment or a thought? Y'all are smart people and you're good thinkers. You're good thinking people. Anybody with a thought or a question or a comment or a what about kind of comment? Yes, sir. But let this cup pass from me? Interesting question, because it's kind of the opposite here, right? In John 12, how can I say, Father, save me from this hour, but this is my purpose? How does it relate to his prayer in Gethsemane when he prays that exact prayer? Father, let this cup pass from me. What do you think about that? That's a really interesting question. It's a really good question. What is the relationship there? I tell you what, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Think about it. Talk to somebody next to you. Even if you say, I don't know, what do you think? And they say, I don't know, what do you think? Talk to somebody next to you about that question for 30 seconds. Okay, someone on this side, right here, tell me, what do you think? Or what does somebody next to you think? How do those two passages relate to each other? Can I see someone who hadn't commented yet? Somebody right in here? This row has been quiet. Anybody? Anybody around you come up with something? Okay. Okay, good. One, the conversations are different, right? This is a public conversation in John 12, a private prayer in John, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Good. The contexts are different. Somebody over here, Neely. Great. Excellent. Yes, ma'am. Okay, great. It shows that wanting to do God's will and knowing God's will doesn't mean I always want to do God's will, and that's okay. That's okay. And sometimes doing the point is hard. Sometimes it's excruciating hard. Jesus knows that too. And when you need to make those kinds of decisions, and when I need to make those kinds of decisions, you have a Savior who knows exactly what that feels like, who knows what is right, and absolutely doesn't want to do it. But he does it because he loves God and he loves other people. Excellent question, Cameron. And there's a lot to think about with that question, isn't there? In that dichotomy of how Jesus worked through that. Excellent point. Excellent question. We're just about out of time, so let's wrap up this last little point. I said, how did Jesus do it? He knew the point, his purpose. We've identified what that purpose was. Glorify himself because he's doing what the Father wills, and so glorifying the Father and saving us. How did he do it? And this series of passages sort of just walks through the very most superficial way to explain that. Let's just read this really quick. Somebody turn to one of those passages. I'm just going to call someone out, and we're going to just read these one at a time here before we close. So pick one of those five passages. Statistically, we're guaranteed to have somebody in each of them. John 1? Good. Read it for me, ma'am. Good and loud. So the first thing is the Creator joined his creation. He became one of us. Now that's a point all its own just to think about, that the Creator actually became what he created. It's pretty incredible. Who's in Colossians 2? Yes, sir. All right. That's not the right. Good. He revealed God in his body. That's right. John 13, 31, 32. Okay. He, through death, was going to glorify God. And that's what he's talking about here in John 13. Now the Son of Man will be glorified. He said, I'm going to die. You're not going to think it's glorious, but it is. So he died. John 17. You already read. John 17. I know, Stephen. Come on, there are more literate people in this room than this. I'm going to start calling on names. John 17. Emma Montgomery, do you mind reading? Or would you rather not? Courtney? No? Savannah? It's John 17, 1 through 3. Good. So he revealed the Father to us. And then last, Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Go ahead.
And was declared to be the Son of God, our immortal spirit, born by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Romans chapter 1 tells us nothing declares him to be the Son of God like the resurrection. It is the resurrection that revealed him to be the Son of God. Nothing else like the resurrection speaks to Jesus' deity. He wasn't just a good man. He was God in the flesh, the Son of God. So how did Jesus fulfill his point, do his purpose? He joined his creation. In that, he revealed God's nature. He died. He resurrected. He revealed God's glory, proving himself to be the Son of God. In short, he became a human and lived on earth as he was supposed to, as the Father told him to. And in so doing what the Father did, he served his purpose. Doing what the Father told him to do, he served his purpose. All right, so we're running out of time, so we'll just do this. Jesus knew the point. The point was the Creator needed to join his creation in order to save his creation. His physical life had a spiritual point far beyond it. And Jesus knew that. Physical life had a spiritual point that we can't physically see. And when he did that point, he served his purpose. And he served other people with it. You and I are not the Son of God in the flesh, right? We are not him. We don't have that same purpose. We're not going to save anybody from sin. We're not going to deliver the world from the ruler of the world. But we can learn from him, because he was part of creation and so are we. And on some level, Bill's going to talk about that this afternoon. So just hold on to that point until then. For now, the Creator joined his creation. Physical life had a spiritual point And Jesus understood that. All right, thanks.